chapter 2, verse number 3. The Bible says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, once again, we are thankful for this day and thankful for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, I do thank you for each one that has come. And I pray now in these next few moments that you would help each one of us to be able to put aside any care, any concern, any distraction, and focus our attention on the Word of God. I pray each one of us would have ears to hear and hearts to receive the message. I pray for liberty, that I might say exactly what you want said, the way you want it said. And any decisions that need to be made, we pray would be made before we leave. If there's someone here today that is lost, that needs salvation, I pray that this day would be their day of salvation. I pray for us Christians that you would deal with us about any decisions we need to make. And help us to be sure, Lord, that we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for all that you do. And I ask this now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. This morning I'm going to preach a simple message on what is without question the most important subject for anyone who has, is now, or ever shall live on planet Earth. And that is the subject, soteriology. Soteriology. And I realize that may be a little bit of a big word that you may not be familiar with, but all along I feel the need to throw out a big word so that hopefully you folks will believe I'm worth what you're paying. In other words, I'm acting like a doctor or a lawyer. Know what I mean? That was all a joke. But all joking aside, soteriology is a real word, and it has to do with the doctrine of biblical salvation. And that's what I'm going to deal with in the message today. The title for the message is So Great Salvation, a title that I took from the verse we just read where the writer says there in verse 3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" And to get us started and to kind of get us where I believe the Lord wants us to go, there are two truths that I want to point out from this text about biblical New Testament salvation. First of all, I see here that biblical New Testament salvation, which according to this verse was spoken by our Lord and confirmed by them that heard him, can be neglected. Take a look once again at verse 3 and notice what he says. The writer says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" Salvation can be neglected. The word neglect by definition means to give little attention or respect to. It means to disregard completely or to leave undone or unattended to. And unfortunately, that is how many lost people have in the past and continue even now to treat salvation. They neglect the one thing that they need more than anything else in their life. I believe all of us understand today that if a person is unsaved, if they're lost, the greatest need that they have in their life is salvation. It doesn't matter what other problems they have going on, and they may have some other very real issues in their life, but the fact is, if they're lost, the greatest need they have is salvation. And unfortunately, many lost people continue day in and day out to neglect the thing they need the most in their lives. And I believe that they do this for a lot of different reasons. Some people neglect salvation because they are deceived about their true spiritual condition. Some people honestly don't believe they need salvation because they see themselves as being a pretty good individual. I don't do a whole lot of bad things, and I feel like if I were to die right now, that I'd be all right as I stood before God. So they're deceived about their true spiritual condition and don't realize that, as the Bible says, they are a sinner and guilty before God and in need of salvation. And because they're deceived about this, they go on neglecting salvation. Some people neglect salvation because they're deceived about what happens to people who die without Jesus Christ. There are actually people in this world whose idea, whose belief, genuine belief, is once I die, I'm done. When I die, I'm just going to be taken somewhere to a cemetery. I'm going to be put in a hole in the ground, and that's it. I just cease to exist. They're deceived about what actually happens when a person leaves this world. And you and I understand today that if a person dies without Jesus Christ, they don't just go to a hole in the ground. They go to the heart of the earth, to a place called hell. That's what happens to people who die without Jesus. But a lot of people are deceived about that. Some people neglect salvation because they've been deceived into pursuing a false plan of salvation. They neglect biblical salvation because they have accepted what Paul calls another gospel, which he says really isn't another, but is simply a perversion of the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're seeking to be saved in a way that is contrary to what the Bible says. There are numerous reasons why lost people neglect the one thing they need the most in their lives. And I want you to look here at this verse again and notice the writer asks a question. He says, how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The Lord Jesus Christ asked a very similar question, which is recorded in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 33. He asked this question to the religious leaders of his day. He said, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? That's what he asked the religious leaders. And the truth is, the only way a person can escape the damnation of hell is through biblical salvation. They have to be saved, as the Bible says, or they will not escape the damnation of hell. So when you consider that and look at the question here in Hebrews 2:3, he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The answer is we won't. We won't. There will be no escape for those people who disregard biblical salvation. If they choose for any reason, it matters not what excuse they give, what reason they give. If they choose for any reason to neglect the one thing they need more than anything, they will not escape the damnation of hell. I realize it's not real popular preaching, especially in a day and time when everybody wants us preachers and everybody else to be politically correct and non-offensive. But look, folks, I'm not worried about being politically correct. I'm not worrying about not offending people. I'm concerned about people dying without Jesus Christ and going to hell. That's what I'm concerned about. And what I'm going to do by the grace of God is tell people like that what they need to hear. And the truth is, if you die without Jesus, you will not escape the damnation of hell. It's a real place where real people go. So biblical salvation can be neglected. It's a terrible thing because you will not escape without it. But here's something else, the second truth I want you to notice about biblical salvation. This is positive. The first one I realized was somewhat negative. This one's positive. And this is really what I want to deal with in the main part of the message, and that is biblical New Testament salvation is great. It's great. In fact, it's the greatest thing in the world. Greatest thing in the whole universe is to be saved. Amen. Many of us in here, we've had a whole lot of experiences in our life, and some we look back on are bad, and we wish we'd have never had those experiences. And then there's things we look back on in distant past as well as recent past, and we're so thankful, we're so grateful that we got to be a part of those experiences, whatever they might be. They mean a lot to us. They're very special, and we would describe them as great. But I'm telling you, folks, just my own personal testimony, the greatest thing that has ever happened to this man standing right here is the day I got saved. It's the greatest thing. Nothing else compares. There's not even a close second to that experience that happened in my life that day there in Rose Hill, Alabama, where I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Greatest thing in all the world. But look right here at what he says. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It can be neglected, but man's salvation, biblical New Testament salvation, is great. And what I want to do in the next few minutes is just give you some reasons why biblical salvation is so great salvation. And again, this is simple, but at the same time, it's really important. If you're lost, I really hope you'll pay attention. And if you're saved, I really hope you'll pay attention. You say, what does a message about salvation have to do with me if I'm already saved? Well, maybe it'll help you be a little more appreciative for what you got. Maybe it'll help us saved people have a better understanding of just what we have got in on by the grace of God. And maybe we'll leave here with a deeper appreciation for what we have than maybe we've ever had before in our entire lives. So here's some reasons why it's so great salvation. Number one, it is great because it is absolutely free. Absolutely free. Biblical New Testament salvation is absolutely free. Now, we're going to turn to some scripture, and I'm going to quote some scripture, and I want you to follow along as best you can. Go with me now to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Biblical New Testament salvation is absolutely free. In Romans chapter 5, we're going to pick up in verse number 15. And Paul here is talking about salvation. And he says this, Romans chapter 5, verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is, look at it now, the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, talking about Adam, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Adam made us sinners. That's what Adam did. Through him we have condemnation, we have death. We can expect nothing but hell in Adam, but there was another man, thank God, that showed up on this earth down here one day who could change the mess that Adam made, and that man is Jesus Christ. And through him, we get a free gift, it says. Look at verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, again, that's Adam, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, that's Adam, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. In Adam, there's death, there's condemnation. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a free gift. It says it three times, free, free, free. Other scriptures bear this same truth. Romans chapter 3, verse number 24. I'm just going to quote these to you. The Bible says, being justified, listen now, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 6, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Revelation 22, 17, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Salvation, biblical salvation, is absolutely free. Now, you and I understand that it cost Jesus everything. Amen. It cost Jesus everything, but because it cost him everything, it cost us nothing. He paid the full price, and because he paid the full price with his precious, perfect blood, we have to pay no price. Isn't that good news? When it comes to salvation, we don't have to pay anything. When it comes to salvation, we don't have to foot the bill, as we like to say. In fact, we don't even have to split the bill. That's what a lot of people are trying to do. They're trying to split the bill. They're trying to work it out with the Lord. Split the bill here. They do their part. He does his part. And if we both work together in this thing, then we'll get the job done and everything will be all right. Listen, we don't have to foot the bill. We don't have to split the bill. There is, in fact, nothing that we can pay the Lord. Everything has already been paid. The debt we owed, the price we needed to pay has already been paid for us. That's what biblical New Testament salvation is about. It reminds me of some things that have happened to me through the years of my life. Numerous times, and I could give you all kinds of illustrations, but I think about one, the church where I pastored before I came here. I hadn't been moved to town very long. I didn't know the town, didn't know any of the businesses, any of the people very well. And my pickup truck broke down. It got to running hot on me. I wasn't exactly sure what was going on. I called a gentleman in the church there. I asked him if the knew of a mechanic or a garage that he would recommend me to take my truck to, and he told me he did, told me where it was. I took my truck over, dropped it off. Fellow there said, I'll call you when I got it done. A few days later, I got a telephone call. The guy said, got your truck fixed. My radiator was stopped up. That's what it was. He flushed it out, fixed it, everything's good. So I go back there to pick up my truck and to pay my bill. We'll go back and I'm going to pay for it. Well, I go in there and I'm expecting to pay. I asked him how much he owed you. He said, you don't owe me a dime. He handed me a receipt. He said, your bill has been paid in full. You don't owe me anything. Just take your truck. Somebody had come along and paid my bill for me. That work was done, and it didn't cost me anything. And I didn't do anything, you understand? All I did was just drop off my truck. That man got out there and did the work. It cost him the time and the energy to do it, and it cost the person that paid for it, but it didn't cost me anything. It was absolutely free for me. That's how it is with salvation. It cost the Lord Jesus Christ his life and his precious blood, but because he paid everything in full, we don't have to pay anything for salvation. Nothing at all. Absolutely free. We sing a song. We sung it this morning, in fact, before Sunday school. It says, in my hand, no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. You understand this morning? If you're saved, it didn't cost you anything. Nothing. If you're not saved this morning, you can be saved and it won't cost you a dime. Who in this world doesn't like something for free? Just set your halo off, you know. Don't try to act spiritual. Oh, not me. Yeah, you. You like free stuff, don't you? Them Coopers really like free stuff. You ought to see the gouging going on up here. We like free stuff. Why would you turn down the greatest gift in all of the world? Why would anybody neglect the greatest gift when it cost them nothing? Jesus paid it all, thank God. If you're here this morning and you're lost, please don't leave out of here alone. You can get saved and it won't cost you a dime. It's absolutely free. But here's the second reason why I believe it's great. Not only because it's absolutely free, but secondly because it is acquired by faith. It is acquired by faith. You know what you have to do to be saved? Believe. That's what you have to do to be saved. It is acquired by faith. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 16, we're not going to take the time to turn to all these, but in Acts 16, verse number 30, a fellow said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What do I have to do? The Lord had shook the man up with some events that unfolded that night in a jail cell. And he comes to Paul and Silas, and he says, "Sirs, what must I do? What have I got to do to be saved? I want to be saved, and I want to be saved right now. What do I got to do, sirs?" You know what answer he got? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Believe. Believe. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we know the verses, "For by grace are you saved through..." What is it? "Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Not of works. Isn't that pretty clear? Not of works, lest any man should boast. We've talked about it before. If salvation was by works, you know what every one of us would do? When we come to stand before the Lord, we do what we do all the time now about other stuff. We just brag, wouldn't we? When he said, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" Well, let me just give you a list, Lord, right here. "I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I didn't do that, and I didn't do that." We give him his big, long laundry list of things that we did. We would brag and boast, but the Bible says, "Lest any man should boast." There'll be no bragging except bragging on Jesus, friend. We're saved not by what we do, but thank God by what he did. Christianity is not a doing religion, it's a done. It's a done religion. He paid it all. He did it all. Let me show you a verse of scripture in the book of Galatians with me. Turn to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. It's acquired by faith. If you're saved this morning, you're not saved because you did a whole lot of stuff or didn't do a whole lot of stuff. You're saved because you put your faith in what Jesus Christ did for you. That's biblical New Testament salvation. At the end of the day, it comes down to this right here. What are you trusting in? That's what it comes down to. Either you're trusting in yourself or you're trusting in him and what he did for you. Galatians chapter 2, look at this, verse number 16. And there's so many verses we could look at, we don't have the time to go through them all. Galatians 2:16. Paul says, "Knowing," so this is not up for discussion really, "knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Right there is a good place to say amen. Amen. "By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." We are saved by grace through faith. Romans 4:5 says this, "But to him that worketh not," did y'all hear that? "To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Salvation is not acquired by the keeping of the Ten Commandments, by being baptized, by joining a church, by giving to the church, or giving to charity, or any other whatever people want to come up with. You are saved by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is acquired by faith. Number three, got to move on. I'm running out of time. It's absolutely free. It is acquired by faith. And thirdly, I want to say salvation is great because it's available for everyone. Isn't that a blessing? It's available for everyone. You talk about being inclusive. When it comes to salvation, God's inclusive. It's available for everyone, not just certain people, but for everyone. There is a word that shows up many times in the Bible, and I might have told you before, but it's my favorite word. You know what that word is? Whosoever. I love that word. You know why I love whosoever? Because whosoever surely meaneth me. That's why I love that word. That means I can get in on this. Whosoever means anybody. Anybody can get in on this. It doesn't matter who they are. Anybody is a whosoever. Anybody can be saved if they want to be saved. Y'all understand this morning that is the will of God for every person, right? The Bible says God will have all men to be saved, not some men. He will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, the Bible says. That is God's will. People that are in hell now are not there because God wanted them to be in hell. People that go to hell later on will not be there because God wanted them to go to hell. God's will is for every person to get saved. And he's made it possible so that whosoever can be saved. There's no reason for anybody. Y'all understand? There is no reason for anybody to go to hell. No reason. God has made it possible for everybody to be saved. John 3:16, everybody knows it, right? Let's quote it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Acts 10:43 says this, to him give all the prophets witness, listen, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Revelation 22:17, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Romans 1:16 says that the gospel is the power of God unto every one that believeth. Everyone. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 3:22 says, the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto, listen, all and upon all them that believe. One reason why salvation is grace, because it's available for everyone. It's available for the Jew. It's available for the Gentile. Us Gentiles can get in on this thing. We may not be Jews, but Jesus Christ tasted death for every man, the Bible says. He's a propitiation not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. It's there for the Jew. It's there for the Gentile. It's there for the rich. It's there for the poor. Thank God it's there for the middle class. It doesn't matter your social status, your standing in society. It's there for everyone, rich, poor, in the middle. It's there for male. It's there for female. And I'm going to say something. It's even there for those people who say they don't know what they are. You know what I mean? I don't believe that nonsense, and I think it's wicked as hell. Can I just tell you? But let me tell you something. Anybody in this world that's willing to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ as a guilty, wicked sinner can be saved. Salvation is for everyone. If they're religious or they're unreligious, it makes no difference. If they're moral, if they're immoral, salvation is available to them. Red, yellow, black, or white. It does not matter what their race. It doesn't matter what their color, their skin color. Let me say something. When Jesus Christ hung on that cross and shed that blood, his blood was shed for every person who ever would live on this earth down here, no matter what their color. Y'all understand that? Us Caucasians get our head around it. He died for that African American just like he died for us. Red, yellow, black, or white, he died for them all, friend. And anybody that'll come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation is available for everyone. And the truth of the matter is, if we're not so self-righteous, we understand this. Were it not available for everyone, if it wasn't all-inclusive, I doubt very seriously very many of us in here today would be saved. Thank God he opened the door for all of us, amen. It's available for everyone. Here's one last thing I want to say to you. Salvation is great because it abides forever. It abides forever. Once saved, always saved. I've been made fun of about that so many times since I've been in the ministry. I've had people from other faiths and religions and denominations. Yeah, you one of them old Baptists. You believe in once saved, always saved. You believe you can just go out and live any way you want to and go to heaven. Make light of me. Make fun of me. But I'm going to tell you, what they don't realize when they make light of people like that is they're making light of the Word of God. Because it ain't me that come up with the idea once saved, always saved. God's the one that said that, friend. This Bible teaches that when a person truly, genuinely gets saved, they're saved forever. God doesn't give you temporary salvation. Isn't that a blessing? I'm glad I'm not saved. I mess up. I wouldn't make it home saved. You wouldn't either, you old hypocrite. Know what I mean? I am glad that it's not temporary. Here's what and this might not be politically correct, but I'm going to say it anyway. When it comes to salvation, God's not an Indian giver. Hey, I got Indian blood in me. That don't offend me, okay? Don't offend me. People are so touchy nowadays. But he's not an Indian giver. He doesn't give you salvation and let you keep it until you blow it or you mess up and then say, oh, well, I got to have that back now. I want that back. Thank God when you get saved, you're saved forever. It ought to be a blessing to us to know this. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9 that he is the author of eternal salvation. Eternal salvation, not temporary. It says in Hebrews 9:12 that he's obtained eternal redemption for us. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Everlasting? Let me ask you this. Fix to be done. If I get saved and I get life, which is what happens, right? I get saved, I pass from death unto life, is what the Bible says. I get life. And I only have that life until I do a certain thing or do a certain amount of things, and then I lose that life. Is there any way, shape, form, or fashion that that is everlasting life? Any way it is? That doesn't even make sense, does it? If it's everlasting, then how long does it last? Everlasting lasts forever. Eternal is for eternity. And that's the kind of salvation we have. We have an eternal salvation. Jesus said in John 10:28, I know my sheep, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Here, I'm going to throw this one out here. Not only do I have eternal life, but contrary to what a lot of people say, I know I got eternal life. I don't know the times I've asked people, are you saved? Well, I don't know. I hope I am. I hope I'm saved. That's not something you need to be hoping about, friend. What happens if you hope you are and you ain't when you die? And I don't say this to be cocky or arrogant. I don't know I'm saved because of me. I know I'm saved because I've done what this Bible says I have to do to be saved. That's where my security is at. It's not in me or my feelings or my circumstances. It's in thus saith the Lord, the Word of God. And not only can you be saved and be saved eternally, but you can live with confidence every day of your life knowing that whatever happens, if you leave this building today and have a wreck before you get home, or have a heart attack before you get home, or have a stroke before you get home, or if you lay your head on your pillow tonight and for some reason you die during the night, you can know that you know that you know you're going to wake up in the presence of Jesus Christ. Folks, that's one reason why salvation's so great. We may choose to worry about other stuff, but if we'll believe what the Bible says, we don't ever have to spend another waking moment of our lives worrying about where we're going to spend eternity. We can know we have eternal life. Let's bow our head for prayer. While we get ready for our invitation today, if there's somebody here and you're not saved, or you don't know if you're saved, there's no better time than this time for you to make that right. If you're lost, you don't have to leave lost. If you have doubts, you don't have to leave with doubts. Any decision. As we get ready to sing, Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you for so great salvation. Help, Lord, I pray at this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You need to come. You come on. Don't tarry. Don't wait. You just come on if you need to come. Any decision.